Good morning. Good to be with you guys. Welcome to our family service. It is great to see older faces, younger faces, and everything in between here this morning. We are looking forward to doing something a little bit different this morning. We have a little gap between our kids' curriculum, which is going to reset starting next Sunday and the end of Sunday summer camp, and we just felt like it'd be good to talk about something that we all have in common, young and old, in our church family, and that is, why are we a church? What are we here for? That's the question for us this morning. Any kids in the room, I need to get you caught up to speed, because we've been talking for a couple of weeks on these why questions. Why welcome? Why fellowship? And before we get to today's why question, I need some volunteers. Today's going to be a little more interactive than normal. It's okay if it's uncomfortable, but I need probably at least five people, maybe six, a couple of adults, a couple of younger people. Come on up. Thank you, David. Be brave. Good job, boys. All right. The first service, we just had one adult too, David. Maybe one more. There we go. We got a couple more. Come on up, you guys. That's good. While they're coming up, I'm going to get some supplies. You guys can just clump in the middle. It's going to be okay. And if not, it'll be painless and short. So, or painful and short, I should say. Sorry for the awkward moment where you just have to look at people in the congregation. But so, we are going to review briefly. You guys can go over there. It's safe. Review briefly the last couple weeks, and you guys are going to help us do that. Let's pretend. We don't really have to pretend because they are the church, but let's pretend these guys are a little church. Okay, they're from different backgrounds or different areas of the room. They've been invited up here and responded. Thank you for responding, for being welcoming. The first why we said and talked about as a church was why welcome. Why are we welcoming as a church of Jesus Christ? And that's because we've been welcomed by Him, right? Jesus Christ welcomed us from all different backgrounds and all different kinds of places. Even though we were lost and rejected Him, He welcomed us still. And so as a church, we are a welcoming community, right? So kind of clump together a little bit. I feel like I'm doing a family picture or something, right? So we put a welcome mat out for the whole body of Christ, the whole thing. We are welcoming because we have been welcomed by Jesus. That's why we are that way. But while we're that way, we are also becoming something. And that's where this stuff comes in. Kai, I am glad you're up here with us because we're going to talk about construction. Okay? So you're going to be becoming something. So each of you who are willing, get to wear one of these so you guys can start divvying this up and putting some of this stuff on. Sorry, I'm going to grab. And I've got some tools over here. So you guys can grab a couple of tools. I'll give the sledgehammer to an adult. David, I'll give this to you. In retrospect, that might not have been the best idea. But they're going to start to become something. So grab some tools, get dressed up. Because the second week we talked about why fellowship? Why are we working together as the body of Christ, right? And as they are becoming construction workers, right, they are becoming a work crew, a lean, mean crew ready to build, right, and dig with plastic shovels. So they are becoming something together as the church. And we too, as we follow Jesus, we are becoming like Christ, right? We're becoming like Christ together. That's the idea. We are a work crew. Now, it would be a bummer, and this gets to our question today, our why question, if all they did was dress up in these things and have these tools just because they loved that color orange or yellow, right? That would be strange. But what do construction crews do? Build, right? They make roads and they make buildings and they do stuff. They're active. They're a part of a larger task together. And that's our question for today. If these guys, if a construction crew comes together to construct or to build, what is the church, when it comes together, supposed to do? What are we fundamentally about? Okay, that's what we're going to look at today. That wasn't too bad, right? Painless. Okay, you can put tools back. You can take your really cool jackets. Put that back. Thank you, guys. Give them a round of applause for being courageous. our first of a few batches of volunteers. So if you didn't have courage last time, summon the courage for what's next, okay? Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. We're going to go there, Matthew 28. This is the last part of the Gospel of Matthew. He's been talking a lot about Jesus as king and what it means to follow him as king. It kind of started off talking about Jesus as son of Abraham, son of David, as Emmanuel, and the Great Commission, or the passage we're going to look at this morning, kind of picks it up from there. The last chapter, in chapter 27, Jesus had died on the cross and was buried. Okay, and in chapter 28, a few women go to the tomb, and they meet an angel there, if you remember that, and they're told he's been raised from the dead, and they leave, and they actually run into Jesus. Here's what it says in Matthew 28, starting in verse 8 through 10. So these women, they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Pick it up in verse 16, which is the start of our passage this morning. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, as Jesus just told them to do, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Let's just stop there. Jesus is about to tell us our mission. Very, very important words, this command that we exist to obey. And we know that it's an important command because Jesus sets up a time that he's going to meet these apostles and disciples, this little crowd that's gathered, to tell them and on a mountain, which is a significant place in the scriptures, what their mission is. Some of them weren't sure what to do when they see a person they thought was dead who was talking with them. And they doubted or they hesitated. It's kind of what the word means. The other reason we know that these words of this command is very important is what Jesus says in verse 18. Look again at what he says. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Help me. What kinds of authority do we find in our world where people are in charge of something? You got to yell it out loud for me to hear. What kinds of authority do we have? IRS, military, sheriff, teachers, parents. Anything else? What? Pastor. Boss. Yeah. There's lots of authority, right? It's everywhere. And think about what Jesus is saying. He is saying that God the Father has placed him as boss, as king, as Lord over everything on earth. All those authorities we just mentioned are under him and in heaven. He is in charge of all things. He has all authority. Every bit of it is under his authority. Now, when Jesus was alive, it was kind of hidden in some ways. It would kind of come onto the scene when he would do a miracle or that kind of a thing. But he chose to obey his Father and even obey some earthly authorities, right? His parents and the Roman government to some degree. But now that he is risen, his Father has restored his full and final authority so that he is in charge of everything and everyone everywhere. And that's really important to know before he gives his command, right? It's kind of like what happens in our life sometimes. If someone says, "Well, as the boss of this company, we're going to," or "since I'm your dad, I need you to," or "by the power invested in me, by the state of Washington and by Almighty God, I pronounce you," right? We kind of, if we're going to say something important, we preface it or we say something before that kind of helps people know, I'm saying this because I have authority to do it. And this is exactly what Jesus is doing. Every kind of authority is under the authority of Jesus, and he's going to give this command. The purpose, the reason why we're sitting here is going to be revealed in these next few verses. Here's what he says in verse 19 through the first part of 20. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." Our first point this morning is this, that Jesus has already decided the mission of our church. As King of the universe, he gets to decide what that is. And it's great because we don't have to start fresh and brainstorm or create something or get creative, right? What Jesus has said the church is for, that's why we are here. And that's clarifying and helpful. Construction workers build things. Disciples make disciples. Followers of Jesus make other followers of Jesus. Jesus says this is why the church exists. If we're not making disciples, we are not obeying King Jesus. Now, notice he said that we make disciples of all nations. And this reflects the heart of God from the very beginning. Do you remember what he said to Abram when he called him? He said, "In you all the families of the earth will be blessed." From the very beginning of the Bible. And you follow that, starting with Israel and then a light to the nations. And by the end in Revelation, when God returns and he gathers people, the people he saves will be from every place on the earth. They will be different kinds of people, and they will look different from one from another. It's because he has commanded us to make disciples of all nations everywhere. This is the heart of God. And this is why we not only make disciples here, but it's why we encourage and support and pray for and send people to make disciples in other places. Okay? Even just this last week, Mark and Olya Meland were talking with us about making disciples in Ukraine in obedience to Jesus' command. Ben and Anna Samuelson have been with us, and they're going to be heading back to Congo soon. I saw Johnny this morning. Good to see you, brother. So we're constantly sending people and praying and helping and trying to encourage because the gospel goes to all nations. That's why we're doing that. He says to go, and some need to go farther than others in obedience to Jesus. So, what does Jesus mean when he tells us to make disciples? How do we do that? He gives us two quick examples in our verses, right? He says, baptizing them. In the name of the Father and the Son. And then teaching them to obey or observe the commandments of Jesus. Baptizing someone in the name of the Father and Son and Spirit means that this person has decided to be a part of God's family already. They're making that a public decision, right? We know that. At Glenwood, every now and again, we have baptisms throughout the year now. And we're in a season now where we're looking at a baptism coming up. And if you haven't been baptized, we would urge you to do so. We would love to talk with you more about what that looks like. So let us know if that's of interest to you. We'd love to talk more. If Jesus is telling us to be baptizing people, then that assumes that we are spreading the message that God has made a way for us to be right with him again. And we are inviting people to respond to that message. And as we share that and invite people to that, some respond and they're the ones who are baptized. What is this message that we're supposed to share? And another gospel, similar kind of thing, at the very end after Jesus was raised, he says this in Luke chapter 24, same kind of scene. He says, "Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. And that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high.'" What is this power that they're given in order to share this message? He keeps writing in the book of Acts in 1:8. He says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So in these passages, we hear a lot of the same things, that God will give us power through the Spirit to share a message about how Jesus died and rose again for the forgiveness of sin. And you and I need to share this message with everyone, everywhere. And when people say yes to that message, an important part of what the church does is to baptize them. So, back to our question, what does the church do to make disciples? Number one, we share the good news with others, right? That God has made a way for our sins to be forgiven through Jesus. And when people believe that and repent, we baptize them. So how do we do this? How do we share the good news as the people of God? We use the analogy of a tree. and that a healthy tree plants seeds. Okay? A healthy tree plants seeds. When you and I are becoming more and more like Jesus, we are taking on more of his character, more of his what drives him, what things that he loves. And part of becoming like Jesus is being willing to love other people in a sacrificial way. And that includes telling them this message and this news about what God has done to be right with him again. I can remember talking to a younger Christian who was really discouraged because he wasn't sharing the gospel a lot. And he was so focused on what the right words to say and when to do it and how to do it. And he wanted to be faithful, but he just didn't quite know how it worked. And he just kept getting hung up on how to do it. And so after a while, I told him, just get nearer to Jesus. Okay, like, just get closer to him. The more you love Jesus, get to know him, the more you will want to share him with other people, the more you'll understand why that's important. Just get near to Jesus. There are good examples of this in our body here. Dave and Judy Bufford have a heart for college students who come here from another country. And so when they come, Dave and Judy will help them get their licenses and drive them around and help them learn how to get used to being here and have meals with them and do things that intentionally puts them in relationship with people who are coming literally from all nations. So in order to be faithful to this, we need to share the gospel ourselves, but we also have a responsibility as a church because Jesus knows how people are attracted to the gospel. And one of the ways that happens is by us being a healthy church and a loving church. Look at John 13. It'll be up on the screen. It says this: "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this love, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So we not only share the gospel in our individual lives, but as the church family, we are strange enough in our love and unity and desire and toleration and self-sacrifice for one another that it actually gets the attention of the people around us. That's one of the ways that God brings people to himself. So that's how that works. Now, there was one more thing, not just sharing the gospel and baptizing, but Jesus also said, teaching them to observe or obey all that I have commanded you. So the second thing we do to make disciples is we teach people God's word and show them how to obey it. Making disciples is way more than getting people to come here or even getting people to join the family of God. Making disciples involves helping people to grow in Christ-likeness. So we're not just healthy trees that are planting seeds. We're healthy trees that are growing deep roots as well. Now, how can we know what God commands us? This is why we're nuts about the Bible here. Because this is an important part of our mission, right? To know what Jesus has commanded and to know how to obey that. And so we do everything we do involves the Bible. Like I said, our children's ministry is kind of in this in-between time where for the last 3 years, week by week, they have been going from Genesis to Revelation to understand how the gospel is seen through the filter of those texts for 3 years. And so next Sunday, they'll reset and start again from Genesis 1 at different depths so that they will know the full story of God. Our student ministries are going to look at 1 Timothy this fall. The young adults are looking at Philippians. Our women are looking at Genesis and Revelation. Next week, we'll be going back to the Gospel of Luke. We are nuts about the Bible because we want to know what God has commanded us. We believe it's his voice. But notice what he says in that verse. He says to teach them to observe or obey what he teaches. So it's not enough for us to just teach the Bible or to know the Bible. We need to obey it and live it. And this is why it's important that we know each other. That as we serve in ministry teams together, we can encourage each other. Or as we're a part of a life group or a small group in youth ministry, that we would know each other to help each other not just know the Bible, but to obey and observe it. I want to point out a way that Jesus actually does this, and I need some more volunteers. So, and I need kind of a spectrum of ages. It's a little sensitive. I'm not going to ask you your age, but we'll figure it out, and we'll get close. Okay, so could I get a handful of people? Like, say, 7 or 8 people. Come on up. Thank you, buddy. Way to be brave. A few more. Come on up. Come on up. I'm going to get some stuff while you're being brave. Sorry, no hammers for you, but you'll get something here in just a second. It's been half a year. Keep coming. Let's see. All right, we're good. Keep coming, guys. I've got some tools for you. Different tools. I nearly dropped these in the first service. I'll try not to do that this time. So let's try to get an order of age. I know, sensitive. You can stay put because you're holding a kid, so you get a free pass. So yeah, come over there. Close enough. Perfect. Okay. So I'll give you that. I will give you that. Give you that. Don't be mad if you get something that. There you go. You guys want to share that? Sure. Okay. So one of the ways that Jesus, when he says, Jesus says to observe all that I've commanded you, that does mean teaching, right? That does mean you need to know certain things about the Bible. You need to know doctrine. You need to know who God is and what he's done. But the way we observe and grow and obey Christ is not just through what we hear in teaching, like in a sermon. It's also in watching the body of Christ and watching our brothers and sisters obey Jesus in front of us. Okay, so for example, Betty Sue, I was going to give you money, but instead I gave you a little offering envelope. Let's say Betty Sue is a very generous person. Okay, that's a gift that God has given her, and she does that. Marilyn is really good and passionate to share the gospel with people. And that's something you see in her life. Tracy is good at helping. Right? She's there for offering even a bottle of water to someone. No one's drank out of that, by the way, but so just we're safe. Tara, you've parenting, or like in the family, shepherding kids, and I know you're doing that through children's in all kinds of ways as well. Janae knows Scripture really, really well. So if you have a question about, well, what does the Bible teach about this, you can talk to Janae, right? Jack's got the clock here. He's a good manager of time. You're wondering what that was, huh? He's intentional with his time. He's thoughtful. And even as a young man, he thinks about what he's doing. And it doesn't just kind of bumble through the day because he sees his life as a stewardship. Okay? And these guys, let's say they're encouraging, right? They're encouraging. So they write, maybe not that big of a thank you card, but they write thank you cards to people and they send them in the mail. And what happens is these folks watch each other observe what Jesus commands, right? So Janae can watch Tara and watch her in shepherding kids and think, wow, that's impressive the way she did that. I want to imitate that. And so you can look to those who are more mature in Christ. You know, that doesn't always work with age, but sometimes it does. You can always look to those who are more mature in Christ to observe what Jesus commands and follow it. And not only that, but you can help those who are a little bit younger in the faith than you, right? So, all you know, time management might not be a big deal to you right now in life. I understand that. But the day will come when maybe Jack will be a part of that, right? And it'll be helping him. So we're not only looking forward to those who are more mature in observing and learning what Jesus commands, we're also helping those learn what we have learned and what Jesus has taught us. This is why God gifts us with different things as the body. And why we need each other, and why we need to be together in ways and in relationships that really matter. Okay? All right, I'll collect these things from you. Good job, you guys. Give them a round of applause. You did a fine job. Good work. So, we not only share the gospel, we live out the gospel with one another, and that is a part of how we learn and how Jesus teaches us to obey his commands. Okay, it's kind of like the motions earlier. It's fun in the first part of VBC when the The singers come up here and start doing motions, and all the kids are clueless, and they're trying to figure out how to do it, right? You're watching people do things to follow their example. Now, the great part about this is that no matter how mature you are in Christ, you never graduate. You never go, yeah, I've obeyed everything Jesus has taught me and commanded, right? So our job as a church isn't just to one segment of faith or one age of faith. It's to every follower of Jesus to help them to grow in Christ-likeness. So it just keeps going. This is what our mission is. One last encouragement and then we'll be done. And it's the last line of our text from Matthew 28. Here's the last thing that Jesus says to his disciples, and this is so reassuring and helpful. He says, "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Why does he say this? Why is this so important? Well, do we make disciples on our own? No, we don't. This is the funny thing about the Great Commission, or this command, is that we can't do what he commands without him. So we need him every day and every moment. We can't make people believe in the gospel. We can baptize people, but we can't welcome them into the family of God and forgive their sins. We can teach people, but the Holy Spirit has to be the one to bring about that desire for obedience. We can try to help people grow, but it's ultimately this whole thing is dependent on him, and he commands us to do it, which means we're invited to the most significant work in the universe as the Church of Jesus Christ. This is not just a command for us to feel crushed by or feel guilty about. This is something we're being invited into that is massive and significant and important. It's why we're here. It's why we get up in the morning. To help people to know the glory and the beauty of Jesus Christ. That's why we exist as a church family. It's why we will always focus on the gospel. We cannot make a disciple any more than we can make a horse or a tree or a hippopotamus. We need God. And he commands us to do this, to invite us to trust him and to participate with him so that we can together see his power and his glory. And it is incredible to see God work in the lives of people. To change what they care about and what they love and what they do with their time because they see Jesus, they see his glory. It's incredible to have a front row seat to that. And it's not easy at times, right? Being a family is a challenging thing at times. But what front row seat to what God is doing in the world through this command is an invitation to be a part of something significant. This is what we rally around. Whether you're 5 or you're 85, this is what we are about. Making disciples. What does that mean? It means becoming like Jesus and helping other people become like Jesus. So what do we do with that? How does this show up in our real life? Two questions and then we'll be done. One, how can you become more like Jesus at this church? Right now, where you sit, where you are in life, how can you become like Jesus more here? This is a far from perfect church. If you're with us for the first time, we have problems. We have issues, just like every church does, right? But how can you grow here? What does that include? What does that mean? Where are we strong? How do you need to engage and be involved in a practical way? What steps do you need to take to continue to pursue Jesus? And now that you know that the church is that instrument by which he makes disciples and grows them, how can you grow here? Number two, how can you help others to become more like Jesus here? Maybe it's sharing the gospel and being more overt about that and more upfront about that with your classmates or in your department at work. And eventually, in time, bringing them here and making disciples through the ministry of this church. Maybe it's just being an example to the other kids in your class in Sunday school or your small group or whatever you're a part of. Maybe it's not focusing as much on what you are getting out of something for a season, but looking down line and seeing who needs help right now. Whose faith can I see is shaking a bit that I can try to get involved and help them and encourage them? How can you help others to become more like Jesus here? This is what we're about. This is what we're doing. It doesn't matter what our staff is. It doesn't matter any of that stuff. We are about making disciples. And that is a mission that is worthy of all of our effort and prayer and time and energy. So let's give that this fall as we kind of get ramped up and get ready for what God is going to do here next. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you for specifics. You know that if you had just left us to do what we might have done otherwise, that we would have been a little bit lost and bumbling. But you made it very clear what you want your church to be about. God, we want to develop a growing hunger to see you glorified, for people to know you and meet you and come into contact with you who haven't known you before. We want that. Would you use us, please, to make the good news known to people in Clark County? Help us to be faithful, God, to live by that message and to live off of that message and to find our joy and strength and endurance from the message of the gospel. Help us, God, to build up one another. Help us to lay aside things that are distracting us or things that are preventing us from being in fellowship, from being in a discipling relationship, from discipling others. God, whatever it is that is hindering us from being a part of this mission, God, I pray you would clarify that for us. And help us to unite around this cause. Whether we're 7 years old or whether we're 70, God, we stand under your command joyfully. Thank you for your purpose. Thank you that it's weighty and good and that your glory is worthy of our lives. We offer that to you again. In Jesus' name, amen.